Once there was a holy place, evidence of God's embrace. I can almost see mercy's face pressed against the veil. Looking down with loving eyes, mercy must have realized. Once his blood was sacrificed, freedom would prevail. As the sky grew dark and the earth began to shake, with justice no longer in the way, mercy came running like a prisoner set free, past all my failures to the point of my need, when the sin that I carried was all I could see. When I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me. Once there was a broken heart, way too human from the start. All the years left it torn apart, hopeless and afraid. Walls I'd never meant to build left this prisoner unfulfilled. Freedom called, but even still, it seemed so far away. I was bound by the chains from the wages of my sin. Just when I felt like giving in, mercy came running like a prisoner set free, past all my failures to the point of my need, when the sin that I carried was all I could see. When I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me. Sometimes I still feel so far from where I should be, but he gently calls to my heart just to remind me that mercy came running like a prisoner set free, past all my failures to the point of my need, when the sin that I carried was all I could see. When I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me. Past all my failures to the point of my need, when the sin that I carried was all I could see. And when I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me. When I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me.
Out my arms, no one put nails in my hands. I'll never feel the weight of the world or carry that cross on my back. Nothing I do could ever repay all that you did on that day. price so that I could be free. You died for me, now I'm living for you. And Lord, that's the least I can do. Never sent me out on my own. You're always leading the way. All that you ask for is a home in my heart and only a small seed of faith. I know but you just want me to believe. You took my place up there on that tree. You paid the price so that I could be free. You died for me, now I'm living for you. And Lord, that's the can do.
I've been redeemed by
Savior, and 10,000 years or more I'll praise His name. 10,000 years we'll just be started. 10,000 years.
Good evening. It's good to see everyone. Let's all stand. We're going to sing Love Lifted Me. We'll sing the first and the last.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
You know, they say technology was supposed to make things easier. It only makes it easier when it is actually working correctly. It had a hiccup. It said it's tired. Wow, Brother Walker, please open us up in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for beautiful day outside. Lord, thank you for getting us here safely. Lord, open our hearts to good preaching tonight. Dear Father, let's hear from you tonight. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
All right, put the prayer list up there. Let me get mic'd up. I've been doing social butterfly stuff. I would make a good-looking butterfly, just a big one. Right, Miss Anita? She's not. So I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole or a 9-foot Hungarian, right? Amen. Amen. Really need to pray for Pete. He's with his family and lost his brother. And so continue to pray, and also pray for Faye's nephew, and knows the Lord. Pray for that, and he's terminal. So pray for that. All right. Who else are we praying for? Praying for the Prasad family. We're praying for. Blow it up real big so I can see it. The Prasad family. Who else? Who else we got? Help me out. Help me out. Help me out. And your relative, brother.
Cousin.
Yeah. He, how's he doing?
He's doing. He's out from the hospital. He's recovered from that.
Okay. Okay. Anita's sister, how?
She is definitely going to be in that where she is. It's a nursing home kind of situation. She has gotten herself a roommate that's pretty reasonable, and so she's a lot more content than she was. But it's just going to take some grace for her to live with what she's going to live with. Parkinson's, and she can't be on her own anymore.
Amen. So pray for her. All right. You heard from Well, Daniel's out.
He's in the field.
He's in the field. Have you heard from Hansel?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
We were just talking about comments.
Have you all talked to his wife any?
She's
doing okay? Okay. All right. Who else are we praying for? Continue to pray for the Keys. Elizabeth, they have that. Elizabeth?
I don't have anything.
She has that thing that.
The mass.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
yeah, they're dealing with that.
Right.
Pray for that. Pray for. What's Jeff Clark's wife's name?
Erica.
Erica's dad is in the hospital. His lesions on his brain. They have to do brain surgery. And so he's in the hospital in ICU in Washington Hospital Center. So pray for him. Jeff is in Germany. And so pray for them. Pray for Gerald Cadet. They had a flood in their house, and so his wife and his son are in a hotel. He's traveling for work, right?
Right, he's for work.
And so, but we're praying they get back in church. And pray for Brian. Darian and Walter and Elijah's friend, he needs to get in church. Pray for his family situation. And then there's several guys we're praying for. John Martin and Nathan. John, I think, is a little bit more sensitive. And pray for these guys. Pray for some opportunities we have to sit down with some people and talk to them, get to know them, and get an opportunity to witness. You know, relationship with people, relationship. You can develop relationships. People you have relationships with, you have a lot better opportunity if you have a good testimony.
Yes.
But you have a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of opportunity there to witness. And so it's important that you take opportunity to do that. Who else are we praying for? Who's the girl that comes with the kids on Sunday, pick up every once in a while, every other Sunday or something? What's their names?
Larissa.
Yeah, pray they're able to come on a regular basis. And then, what's their names? What's her name's? It'll come back to me when I get home. Pray they're able to come, and then pray for Wendy and Arnold's granddaughter. Their baby's sick. Got chicken pox. So pray for that. All right? Any other prayer requests? Yes?
Pray for this person named Emerson Nerona. He is one of our EKG person as a Roman, serving the hospital for 36 years. So last Monday, I saw him. I said, "You don't look great. You look pale." And he said, "Oh, maybe stress." Okay, so I said, "Try to sleep." Even though we have this morning that at work that gives us lessons, and at the end of the year we have 1,000 bonus. So I said, "We'll learn from that." And I said, "Try to do at least 7 to 9 hours." Sleep. Oh no. Maybe only sleep like 2 hours. And so it maybe it will help to help. up to wind down the children to help them go to sleep. So the following day, he saw me and said, you know, I will take your advice. It worked last night. And so Wednesday came, a fellow said, go visit Emerson. He is at 6400 admitted. I said, why? And so yesterday I came to know that he was transported to John Hopkins Main Hospital in Baltimore, not in good shape. And this morning I came, there is a paper that's in circulation with the whole hospital for like a GoFundMe, something like that. And so I communicated with his church fellow and I said, how is he doing? And then they visited him yesterday and we did need a miracle for him. So that's in some.
What's his name?
Emerson Nerona.
Emerson Nerona.
Sam know him. He sang on our wedding.
Okay. And let's pray for the people in Oklahoma. There were some tornadoes out there that did some tremendous damage. I think three were killed so far they know of. And I don't know the exact town. But pray for that. Let's continue to pray for Brother Kearney as they work toward the getting the papers for the building. Yes. You had a tailwind coming back this way. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else we need to pray for? How about unspoken? Spoken requests? All right. Well, let's pray. Brother Darian, lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, be with these requests, dear God. Be with Mrs. Abbott's prayer request about that young man or that gentleman that's sick, Lord. Be with him. Be with everyone that's healing and not here, Lord, dealing with trouble at home, house difficulties, Lord. And really, we pray that Larissa and her gang comes here more on a periodic basis. And be with the preacher tonight, Lord, as we hear him preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right. Before we get into the message, anybody have any praises? Anybody have any praises? Yeah. Amen. Yes. Okay.
I have a flat tire.
All right. All right. Yes. Amen. Amen. Mona?
Just want to praise God that Mama has been able to keep all of her prep solution down, and just that's a huge praise. So just praise God for that.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yes.
Really wants to be here, and I where she grew up. So I praise God for the family.
Yeah, she's family.
Yeah.
She's family. Even the dog's family.
The dog? That's a matter of opinion.
Amen. Just don't hug the dog. Any praises or testimonies about the messages on God speaking? Has God been speaking to you? Has God been speaking to you, and have you been listening? Yeah, those you can get help with from Bethany but you can share those messages, and we're going to work on some. We need to work on getting those things on YouTube and some other places and getting them out there. But just to get the message out there, okay? And it's not about us as a church. It's not about me as a preacher. It's about the message getting out. That's what we want. And we can get the gospel message or some encouragement. If one message gets to one person and encourages them, it's worth it. It's worth it. Amen. Anybody else have a praise on God speaking to you through the messages? Anybody? Yes.
Everybody got involved, and even the children making signs. And to me, I said, "Wow."
And don't think they're signs.
We know what he's talking. Yeah.
But I ran inside the house, and I thought, "What's bad?"
Yeah.
Instead of I have trucks in the house. Instead, I grew up a club.
Yeah.
Fishing water.
You need to grab the tracks first time, next time.
I still have this.
He scared me because he just jumped out of the house with the club, and I take his phone. He ran in the house, and I take his. He drove away, and his license is here. I'm like, oh my God, what happened?
Well, he's.
Yeah, I thought of that. Even those people.
Yeah, scammers don't make you happy, do they? Amen. Well, listen, with these things, with what we're going through as far as God speaking to you, you don't get one message, and we don't go through this for this time, and you forget about this. And I'm gonna work more on the PowerPoint so you can get them, but I hope to make sort of some reminder cards for you. I hope it's motivated you that this becomes part of your life. everyday life. Now, it's not going to happen unless you do it on purpose. It doesn't happen by accident or osmosis. It's not a Baptist thing. Right? And the main thing in the Christian life, the thing that helps me more than anything to keep my level is hey, just keep it real. Okay? What another person does is between them and God. But what you do is between you and God, and you better have a relationship with God that what you're doing, you're hearing from Him. A lot of bad decisions going on today with young people and older adults alike. A lot of church people are making some imbecilic, stupid decisions, and they're messing things up, and they get out of church, messing their families up, and. We should make sure that we're in tune with the voice of God. Amen? And we should be talking to Him all the time. And so, tonight we want to think about listening and obeying. Now that sounds simple, but I want to say some things by way of introduction to get us on the right page and in the understanding of where we're going. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, very familiar portion of Scripture. Genesis chapter 3, are you there? Say amen. Okay. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may not eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now that was not correct. Okay? They were supposed to dress them. They could not eat of that. Verse 4 says, And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's partially true. Okay? Deceptive but true. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Now, we know that this is where sin began. Everything was innocent up to this point. They were in the garden. They were, God created man for his fellowship, and they decided to disobey. And they were deceived, and Satan deceived them, and so sin came into the world. Now, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the Bible talks about the old man and the new man. The old man's always there. And this describes us. This is the old man right here. This is the old man. And so tonight I want us to think about listening and obeying in light of this portion of Scripture. Listening is crucial, and its completer is obedience. You say, I listened, but if you want to prove you listen, obey. Over and over in the Scripture we see obedience or we see disobedience. We see obedience and blessing. We see disobedience and difficulties. The salvation that we enjoy and hold dear, it came into our lives and we became a child of God. God saved us because we listened and obeyed. Listened and obeyed. And God has spoken down through the ages and for us to listen and obey, but we make it so difficult. You know, God doesn't direct us with multiple choice answers, statements. I mean, you look at the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not. And it doesn't say A, B, C after it. Right? With God, it's either true or false. With God, it's either yay or nay. So we have this thing that somewhere we as Christians got so spiritual that we decided to that when God tells us to do something, we deliberate. But if you see the great Christians in the Bible, when God told them to do something, they did it. They did it. And then we had some like Peter that were hard-headed. And they didn't listen, but they learned the hard way. Now, it's your choice. But listening and obeying is important. That's why I've stressed that we get to the place as Christians, and especially in our church. We've got to have a church in these days that we live in. We've got to have a church full of people that are tuned into God, the voice of God, and listening. Amen. We can't function. We can't move on. We can't help people if we're not listening to God. And so tonight I want us to think about, I'm going to give you some thoughts about listening and obeying. Listening and obeying. Now, as we look at this portion of Scripture, first of all, I want us to think about this thought. We listen to the wrong voices. Now, we've covered this, but we're talking about listening and obeying tonight. And if you listen to the wrong voice and you obey, it can have terrible ramifications. What did Eve do? She listened to the wrong voice. Okay? She listened to the wrong voice. It was a serpent. And some people say this serpent used to not go on its belly. They used to have legs, you know. And so Satan came in. And Satan is powerful, and he came in and used that serpent to beguile Eve, to deceive her. And so she was listening to the wrong voices. See, what Eve should have done is she should have said, speak to the hand. Right? Speak to the hand. But you see, she was listening to the wrong voice. She needed to stop listening to the wrong voice. Turn it off. Right? You got buttons on and off. On and off. Somebody said, do you know how this machine works? I said, yeah, there's an on and off button. That's it. If it goes beyond that, I have to call a mechanic. Amen? On and off. And you know, you don't want walk around and say, wonder what this button does. You read the owner's manual first, you know, right? And so you need to understand what it means and so what how it works. You know, like sometimes people don't check the garbage disposal and you turn it on, there's a spoon in there and that poor spoon's beat to death and it's, look at that spoon and say, what happened to that? And so we listen to the wrong voices. And let me just say, 99% of the voices out there are wrong. They're wrong. God's voice is always right. Amen? Amen? And if you find a Christian who gives you the right voice, that's a bonus. The rest of it's wrong voices. The rest of it's wrong voices. Now, notice again, and verse 1, he says, and God said unto the woman, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall eat of the tree of, eat of every tree of the garden? Now, what was he doing? He was setting her up. Those voices out there want to set you up. They want to move you around, right? You ever get somebody pretty intelligent and they start talking to you about the Bible and they start kind of trying to box you into a corner? You say, what do? You're a preacher. You've been through college. You've studied this. I stop them. I'm not going to let them box me in. I want them to know that I don't want to listen to their nonsense. Right? So what do you say to them? Oh, I have a plethora of things that I say to them. Sometimes I say, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and split hell wide open.
Amen.
Really? You don't even know God. What are you trying to talk about God for?
Right.
How can you talk about God if you don't have a relationship with Him?
Amen.
Wait a minute. You're talking about my Father, and He doesn't talk like that. I got a bunch of them. I'll give you some.
Amen.
$99.99 per year for a subscription. The wrong voices. Wrong voices. How many wrong voices did you hear today? Huh? Number two, we are easily deceived. We're easily deceived. Do you know that in verse 5, if you look at verse 5, look at verse 5. For God doth know in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Is that true? That's true. And ye shall be as gods. Little g. That's true. That's true, humanistically speaking. Knowing good and evil. That's true. But here's the thing. It was not the truth of the statement. It was the spirit of the statement. What he was saying is God's trying to hold something back from you. I mean, have you ever tried to close your eyes and imagine what Eden was like? I asked my dad the other day, I said, he was talking about Augusta. They just played the Masters tournament. And this young man that won it is a Christian, Scotty Scheffler. And I've never been there. Patrick has this guy supposed to get us some tickets to go to one practice round. So my dad went to a practice round. And I said, Dad, you never told me about whether you went. He said, yeah, I went one time. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, it is so immaculate, you don't want to spit. You don't want to drop a piece of paper. You see something, you want to pick it up. He says, it is gorgeous. You know, you think about it. He says, it's just like carpet. He says, it's an unbelievable piece of property, a golf course. And listen, probably nothing to the way Eden was. Huh? And so I get to thinking about Eden. I get to think about Eden and what it was like, Brother Walter, and I'm sitting there straining my brain and brain cells, and then God says, hey, you're going to be in heaven. That'll be good. Amen? Amen. But what did he do? We are easily deceived. We are easily deceived, and we're easily deceived in everyday life. People lie. You know what the mantra is for speaking today? The first one that speaks, that's the one that gets out and the one that everybody believes.
Right?
Right? Right? Right? All right, now 10 years down the road, we're going to have the real truth about COVID. Some of the stuff's coming out, right? Y'all are awake, aren't you? Just, you know, 10 years down the road, we're gonna find out things about happening today. But what everybody does is they rush to get the talking points out, and what they say. And let me tell you something. You turn off the news, you can turn it all off, and you can have a good day. You don't have to listen to the news. You say, well, I have to listen to the weather. No, you just need to look. You can kind of figure it out because they get it wrong all the time too.
Miss Creed says, "Well, you better put this up. You better put that up. It's going to rain. It's supposed to rain. Cats and dogs and everything." We get nothing. And it's not supposed to rain, and everything's all over the place in the neighbor's yard and everything, blowing stuff all over. My trash can's in the next county, and I got to go get that. You know, if a weatherman ever visits the church, please keep me away from him. But we're easily deceived. We believe stuff. And folks, that's the way Eve was, and that's our nature. You still have the old nature. And unless you're in tune with God, you're going to be deceived. Now, notice number three, we express pride and independence of God. When did we get to the place that we got to the spiritual level that we didn't need to check with God? That's okay, God, I got this. I got this. I got this. Look at verse 5. It says, "For God doth know that in that day each eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened." He says, you can be independent. God, here, God just doesn't want you to be like him. That's what he's saying. See, he knows what happens when you say you're going to be like the Most High. He'd already been kicked out of heaven. Right? And we think, well, you know, I can get along without this. And you say, you know, it's pretty weak to say I have to read the Bible every day. It's pretty weak to say I have to pray every day. It's pretty weak to do this, and I'm pretty weak to do that, and pretty weak to... Anybody on medication ever forget your medication? One night I took my medication and put it in my pocket. I take some medication before I go to bed, put it in my pocket. The next night I got the same pair of pajamas on, and there it was. And you know what I said? No wonder I felt like an idiot. You know, I didn't feel good that whole day. Forgot my medication. Listen, you cannot function without God. Now you say, "Preacher, the world says that's weak." It's not weak. You cannot function without the voice of God and listening to God. We are not God. Now, let me just say something. And I'm going to take a minute. This is a sort of a commercial. But I want to say something to you folks about the independent Baptist churches in America. We have some fools running it, some of them. Some control freaks. And they want to control people. This one guy got on the other week, and he got on there. He says, "Bless God, if you don't run buses and you don't do this and you don't do that," you know what I did? I blocked him. He's supposed to be an independent Baptist preacher, and I listened to him preach, and the whole time he's preaching, he's manipulating those people. I mean, I'm waiting for him to get back to the Scripture. See, I got to take care of me. You say, "Well, you take care of your wife." No, she takes care of her and me. but this thing of trying to control people, this thing of trying to preach the word without studying and without being true to what the Bible says. Let me tell you something. Those four verses we looked at today were heavy.
Yes, sir.
I've been 6 months working on getting to Isaiah. I just finally last night got peace about preaching that first message. But listen. It's not. I want to get it right. I want you to get the Bible. When I tell you that we can't be independent from God and we express pride, that's what it's talking about in verse 5. Folks, you never get so spiritual. I don't care how long you've been in this church, you are no more spiritual than the kid sitting back there with a Rubik's Cube. AKA Elizabeth. Don't you think that you're something when you're not? Now, I'm not trying to push you down. I'm just saying, folks, we are dependent on God.
Amen. That's
We are dependent on God. God and what he was saying, what he was saying, listen, he was saying what the world says. Hey, look, you need to be the self-made woman. Brother Monty, I text Brother Monty 4:05 this morning. I said, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" He said, "Fine. I'm preaching this morning on how feminism is trying to destroy women."
That's right.
I'll listen to it. It's probably a hoot. And I told him what I was preaching. But folks, you women, you can get stuff out there and read articles that tells you, "I'm woman. Hear me roar." And I know some of you can roar, but that's not your place. Right? And the men, we're not self-made men. We can't, we're not macho ducks. We can't do it without God.
Amen.
We can't do it without God. I am dependent on God. I don't want to move. I don't want to do anything here, lead you any direction in this church or encourage you to do anything that God doesn't fully let me know that he wants us to move in that direction. You say, "Well, the other church is doing it, so what?" We're not the other church. "Well, this guy does this, or this preacher does that." Well, anyhow, I'll move on. But listen, this thing, this God complex, you can't get that as a Christian. You're nothing without him. "For without him, I can do nothing," the Bible says. Paul said that. Now, notice, wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to this. Number four, get this. We make decisions that appeal to our flesh. Now look at verse 6. It says, "And the woman saw that the tree was good for food." Who doesn't like food? "And that it was pleasant to the eyes," and it looks good. "And a tree desired to make one wise." I mean, it looks good. It must be good. Right? Looks good. It must be good. That's like the grass is always greener on the other side when it's on top of the septic tank. Now, look at this. Look at this. It appeals to the flesh. Now, your children will learn this soon. All my grandchildren learn this. My children learn this. And you'll know they got a brain. So, this come up to you and say, "Daddy, I want this. Daddy, I want this. Mommy, I want this. Mommy, I want that." Remember that time? And then they changed one day and said, "Dad, I really need this. I really need this." That's of the devil. Well, wait a minute. Let's just, whatever we want or whatever we desire in life, it should be his desire for us. There's an appeal to the flesh. And when listen, it goes for anything. When you get things, when you purchase things, when you do things, it cannot be appealing to the flesh. When you sing, if you're a musician and you sing a song, you don't sing that song to perform. You don't sing that song just to sing. You sing to minister. That's why a lot of songs out there, if you don't sing them properly and the instrumentation is right and the words are not right, then they're worthless. When we preach, we don't preach to impress people. We preach to share the gospel with people.
Amen.
We preach to share the doctrine of the Word of God. We preach to share Jesus with people. Yeah. It's important that we understand if we let the flesh control us, we'll be all over the place.
Yes. Amen.
When young people start liking each other, it's important. There's a lot of questions young people should ask when they start courting. That's an old-fashioned word. There's some crazy words kids use for getting together these days. When I was growing up, these preachers would say stupid things like, you shouldn't look for looks. You should look for spirituality. Well, I have a bone to pick with him. Now, beauty may be skin deep, but ugly's all the way to the bone. If you're going to marry somebody, that's ugly to you, just because everybody says you ought to marry, you're in trouble. Because it doesn't get any better. Amen? Y'all are laughing. You know what I'm talking about. You know it's the truth. And the flesh, are you with me? The flesh cannot be your guide. The senses cannot be your guide. I'm struggling. I want to slim down. And the flesh says, look at that billboard with that Big Mac. Where's the next McDonald's? We need to stop and get a... I want a Big Mac. The problem is I don't get one Big Mac. I get two of them. They're smaller now, anyhow. And that's another deceptive thing in there, but we'll talk about that later. You make decisions according to flesh. Let me give you something else. Look at verse 8 and 9. They heard the voice of God and his wife. They hid the Lord. They hid from the Lord. And what did Adam say when God said, so what have you done? What did he do? He blamed on who? Well, yeah. What's that? He threw Eve under the bus. That's like throwing mom off the train. She threw Eve under the bus. Threw Eve under the bus. Here it is. Number 6. We make excuse for our wrongs. Right? We make excuse for our wrongs. We even try to paint them a nice color. It's my environment. It's my upbringing. You know? It's what? I'm Irish. I'm Jamaican. If you're Irish, I'm Jamaican. Amen? So listen, we blame it on everybody else. The kids. My three brothers, my Kim and Mike and Beth, used to lie about me and blame stuff on me and get me in trouble with Dad. I mean, I needed a beating every day, but I didn't need two. They'd gang up on me. Pat did it. Here comes Dad. I had no chance. Ganged up on me. Your kids. So-and-so did it. Right? You hear people all the time. They're blaming people. I mean, you don't need to tune into a cable reality show. The news is. It's craziness going on. And they blame people for the wrongs. People a wife and a husband cannot get together. They're going to divorce. Her fault or his fault? Now they got no fault divorce. It's got to be somebody's fault. It takes two to tango. And there's two sides to every story. And so we're listening and obeying. We listen to the wrong voices. We listen easily. We are easily deceived. We express pride and independence of God. We make decisions that appeal to the flesh. We make excuse for our wrongs. And then we hear something that is very sad. We will suffer the consequences. When we do not obey and listen, when we do not listen and obey, we suffer the consequences. Many people When they disobey, they get mad at God when they have to suffer the consequences. Look at verse 14 and 15. What's it say in verse 14 and 15? Genesis 3, and the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We've got to suffer the consequences. Look at verse 23 and verse 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of keep the way of the tree of life. Kicked them out of the garden. And what happens is we don't listen to God. All right? We listen to the wrong voices. We do not obey. And then we get in trouble, and guess what? We get mad at God. There's more people than you can count on your hands and your feet, fingers and toes, that are mad at God over some decision they made, and they're suffering the consequences, and they're saying it's God's fault when it's their fault. Just listen and obey. Just listen and obey. Let me say this. When we don't listen and obey, others around us are hurt.
Right.
We do not live to ourselves and die to ourselves. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. At this point, at this time, sin came in the world, and you and I are suffering the consequences of that decision. Illness. All the things that we go through are a result of sin. The deteriorating body and the difficulties we face in this world are because of sin. When we do not listen, others are affected. Others are affected. I had a guy that was a real popular youth speaker. I mean, he was the cat's meow. And he was a speaker. He's a speaker at youth camps all over. And we were at a fall retreat in Pennsylvania, Hanover, Pennsylvania, and the guy that was preaching, I mean, he was dynamic. He was great to listen to. I mean messages were great. And my sister got saved. And then that next year, he ran off with another woman. Now, when young people are saved, or when people are saved, and somebody does that, a lot of them say, "Well, am I really?" And they start. It affects them. It affects him. I met his wife when I was on tour for Tennessee Temple. I met his wife. Got to sit down and pray with her years ago. Nice lady, out in Indiana. But we hear of people, and people in our church. We got people that used to be here. By the way, I don't tell all the stories. I don't tell the nasty stories. Say why? Because maybe they can get right and come back, and their testimony's intact.
Amen.
I'm not trying to hide sin. You know, God in the Bible never tells us to broadcast and put on billboard our sin. Doesn't do that. He says to confess and forsake it.
Amen, brother.
And he says, I forgive you. And so when we make a decision when we do something, we don't listen and we do not obey, it affects those around us. It affects those around us. Paul said, I myself will be a castaway. He said, I do not want to mess up. He said, I want to keep on going on, pressing toward the mark. I don't want to go to the right or to the left. You know, your kids watch you. They watch everything you do. They watch everything you do. I mean, if you spit a certain way, fellas, your boys are going to come and spit the same way. If you walk one way, they're going to walk that way. If you have one gait, they're going to walk the same way. You can look at it. They do the same thing. But we fail. They see that too. See. Let me finish up by saying this tonight. When we don't listen, and when we don't listen and obey, we miss God's very best. This is a simple formula. This is as simple as 2 + 2 = 4. But our flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil fight us to listen and obey. The friends we have can pull us away. What we read, what we see can pull us away. Let me turn to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, I believe. Just pray it's the right scripture, amen. Now Samuel talks to who? Who's he talking to in verse 15, chapter 15? Who's Samuel talking to?
Saul.
Look at verse 3. Here's what God said. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy, what's that next word?
All that they have
and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Now that's pretty devastating. That's pretty comprehensive. Now look at verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I have feared the people and obeyed their voice. What did he do? He did not utterly destroy. He did not utterly destroy. And God judged them for that. You know, Saul was king of Israel, and he had the chance to be a stellar leader. But the choices he made, he missed God's very best. He decided to sacrifice. Wasn't his job. He was jealous toward David. He knew he was done. We need to understand that God just wants us to obey and listen, and God means what he says. God, the Bible, when it says, what you sow, you reap, that's he means that. I tell you this all the time, but this is incredible thought to me. The reason Israel went into captivity, you read in Jeremiah, you read Isaiah, you read about Daniel, is because they didn't leave the field fallow for 1 year. That's the reason. God means what he says. And when we do not listen and obey, then we miss God's very best. Some of you, God has spoken to you about something that he wants you to do, maybe for years, and you have not surrendered or relented to that. And you're missing God's best. When you face a decision and you know that God is not in that decision, and you move on, you miss his very best. I've told you this story before, but one year we were waited till the last minute. The kids wanted Transformers. We pulled up the Marlow Heights, and there was this truck out there. We went in Toys R Us, no Transformers. And guess what the truck outside was selling? Transformers. Knockoffs. The boys opened the packages on Christmas morning. Guess what they said? These aren't Transformers. I'm telling you, you can't mess with kids on the toys. They better be authentic or you're toast. You know what I mean. You get a knockoff. You guys know about automobiles, you get a knockoff part. Doesn't work good. You know? Made in Malaysia. Yeah, well they have horses and carts in Malaysia. You know, they don't. But we want the best, right? If you want, ladies, as you cook for your children, you want to give them the best you can. The best you can, amen. We miss God's very best for us when we don't listen and obey. Let's listen and obey, amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. Bless us as we do business with you. May we listen, may we obey. Maybe there's someone here that's just battling over a decision that they've made or going to make or something that they're holding back on. You got, Lord, help us do business tonight with you. And we'll give you all the thanks for what you do in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? Where is your ear? Who has your ear? Who's speaking to you? Who are you listening to? As Christians, we like to sort of divorce our listening and our thoughts about the fact that Genesis chapter 3, that's not me. Yeah, it is us. That sin that they committed is passed down right to us. We should want the very best. We're not God. We're not above God. Our decisions cannot be based on the flesh. Amen. You may be seated. Let's have a couple ushers. We'll receive the evening offering. Tim, pray, and we'll receive the offering.
Lord, we just thank you for the word. We thank you for the pastor's heart, Lord. Just, Lord, help us as we make some decisions, Lord, and listen to what you want us to do. Lord, now we just pray that you'll bless the gift from the giver, and may this be used to your glory. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I know what I wanted to share with you as far as the praise is. I might get him to do a Zoom with us, but Brother DeShalters, the fellow down in Mobile that I was sharing with you, that church called him as their pastor. He has renamed the church. It's like a new start. And I called him right before church, and I texted him, and he called me because he thought he had called me, and he was apologizing because he hadn't called me. Named the church. They've got all the things. They've got a lot of the things changed over. They found some land on the back of the land where they have that's theirs that they didn't know about. They owned, and so he's excited, and God's united the hearts of those people with him, and so we're excited that brother went through the fire, and he's got a precious family, and so in October he's inviting some people to come down and canvas and stuff, and so we'll hop on a bus. No, I'm just kidding. But that's a praise. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's have a good week. Amen? Let's start off big on Monday with God, talking to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Listening to Him and obeying and just trust Him. And our sister's going back to... going back tomorrow?
Thursday,
okay. Keep in touch. Amen. Amen. Been good to visit with you and your pop. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to be dismissed. Good to see everybody tonight. Let's close in prayer. Chris, close for us.